So let's flick into 1 Thessalonians 5. And I'm just going to use this verse as a launch pad to just talk about where I feel the Father is taking us as a church. So I'm just going to read verses 1 to 11. I'll briefly touch on them, and then I'm just going to share some things that I feel the Father is doing in us already, so you can understand the season and the times that you are in, and we'll go as far as we can in the time that we have. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need for anything to be written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for the day that surprises you like a thief. For you are children of the light and children of the day. We are not children of the night or of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For the one who sleeps, sleeps at night. The one who gets drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another, build up one another, just as you are doing. So here Paul is talking to the Thessalonian church, which we've been studying over the last couple of months, and they're experiencing opposition, they're experiencing persecution. And he's saying, keep living as children of light. Keep living as children of God. Let us be sober, having put on faith and love, surrounding and protecting our mindset with the knowledge that we are saved. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is reminding and he's encouraging that they are children of the Lord. And he's saying the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming when Christ returns. When everything that is wrong will be put right. But you are not in that day. You are in the last days. That's why he's saying know the seasons and times that you are in. There will be a day when all those things that are wrong will be put right. That is the last day. The day of Christ's return. But we are not in that day. We are in the last days. The last days are prophesied by Joel in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 28. And it's a day when the Holy Spirit comes and he's poured out, not on ones and twos, but on all people, on every child, on every man, on every woman, regardless of position, regardless of their blood, regardless of anything. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon them that they may dream dreams, have visions and prophesy. Basically, that they would move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Peter in Acts 2 proclaims the day of Pentecost. He says, this is the day that Joel was talking about, when the baptism of the Holy Spirit has come upon all people, that you are the sons and daughters of God. The Thessalonian church had come into a season, the season where Jesus speaks a better word. They'd come into an understanding that Jesus had spoken a better word. They had come to the awesome revelation of a new covenant that says, I am for you, I am with you, you are my children. They'd come to an understanding that they were receiving an unshakable kingdom, which was literally changing their lives and the lives of the people around them. Duncan started the sermon by reading Hebrews 12. You have not come to a physical mountain. You have not come to flaming fire, darkness, gloom, whirlwinds, as the Israelites saw at Mount Sinai when the old covenant was given. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast, a voice so terrible they begged God to stop. They staggered back under God's command. Even animals couldn't touch the mountain because they would be stoned. Moses was so frightened at the sight of what he saw. He said, I am terrified. I am trembling. But we, Trinity Church, we have come to Mount Zion. We have come to the city of the living God, to a heavenly Jerusalem, to countless thousands of angels in joyful gathering. We have come, Trinity Church, to the assembly of God's firstborn children, to those whose names are written in the book of life. We have come to God himself, who is judge over all things. We have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven, who have now been made perfect. We have come to Jesus himself, who mediates a new covenant between God and us, his people, to the sprinkled blood that says forgiveness. To the sprinkled blood that says forgiveness. It does not cry out for vengeance, for punishment. So therefore, be careful that you listen to the one who speaks. For the people of Israel, did not escape when they refused Moses, the earthly messenger. We will not escape if we reject the one who speaks from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake the earth, but also the heavens. This means all of creation will be shaken and removed, so that only the unshakable will remain. Since you, Trinity Church, are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful. Since we, Trinity Church, are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and worship God with holy fear, reverence and awe, for our God is a devouring fire. Beloved, the Father has blessed us. And you know what? Right in this season, he is shaking the church. He is shaking your heart, my heart. He is shaking us as a community together. We are experiencing our Holy Spirit shaking because the Father is giving us an unshakable peace and an unshakable wholeness and great power. In this moment, I've really felt, basically since the beginning of the year, that Exodus 6, verses 2 and 3 are a prophetic statement of what God is doing in our community, in our church. And it says this, "And God said to Moses, I am Yahweh the Lord, and I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty, but I did not reveal my name Yahweh to them." The Father invited Moses into a new way of relating to himself, into a new understanding of who God is. He invited him to not only understand him as Almighty Creator, powerful but distant, but as a covenant God, as a God of relationship. Covenant within itself talks of relationship. Many of you would understand this. I wear a ring on my hand because I'm in covenant relationship to one in this room, my wife Kaz. The ring says that no matter how badly I behave, that she'll choose to love me. That's what it says. It says, you make the marriage vow, don't you? In sickness, in health. In all your stuff, I choose to love you. Covenant relationship. And that covenant allows intimacy to grow. And the Father invited Moses in to a new covenant, a new understanding of who he was, where intimacy would grow. It says of Moses that he spoke to God face to face. Face to face. I love what it says in Psalms 103, verse 7. It says, "He, God, revealed his character to Moses, but his deeds to Israel." The Father wants you to know his character far beyond his deeds. It's a new day for you to know the heart of God, not just the deeds of God. And this is what the Lord is doing in our church right now. He is giving us fresh revelation that we are sons and daughters. And it's shifting things. We are no longer going to be a church defined by what leadership position you have, what you do, how much you serve. Those days are done. Those days are done when you look up and think, I wish I had that position. The days are arising in our church where we say, who has the Lord said we are? Let's celebrate who we are in Christ. And let's enjoy that. And out of who we are, we will do stuff. Rather than out of what we do, we will be stuff. The Lord is changing it around and it's bringing freedom. It's bringing freedom that Ornella has the confidence to do something that many of us wouldn't even understand. It's giving confidence for us to lead in different ways, to speak grace into people's lives in different ways. It is a new day. It is a new day, church. And we are at the beginning. We are at the seed of a new day where the Lord is saying, it's about who you are. It's about who I've said you are, not what you do. In Numbers chapter 13, 25 through to 14:9, we have a great story. Many of you will know it. It talks about spies going out into the promised land. The children of Israel go out to the promised land, and Joshua and Caleb go with them. Moses sends them, and they go into the land, and they see the land, and they see that this promised land that God has promised them is amazing. And they come back to the community, and they say, look at the fruit. The land is a land flowing with milk and honey. And then they say, but there are giants in the land. There are this people group and that people group, and there's these obstacles and that obstacles. And Caleb stands up and says, who cares? God is with us. Let's go take the land now. But the others say, no, they're too powerful. There's too many giants. There's too many obstacles. It says that Moses and Aaron bowed down on their face before the Lord. I believe in Exodus chapter 32, it gives you a snippet of what they said. And it says that Moses cried out to the Lord and said, do not let your fierce anger burn against them. Do not let it happen. Don't let the Egyptians say you brought them out of Egypt to kill them in a battle somewhere else. Don't do it. Moses was operating a prophetic gift there, and Aaron, his partner, was pastoring. They were mediating between God and the old covenant. But Caleb and Joshua tore their clothes, because they also had the father's heart. And they said, no, this is wrong. We must step into the promises. I don't have time to read the whole narrative to you. So it's Numbers 13, 25 to Numbers 14, 9. And you can read it at your own time. But what I want to just highlight is there are four groups in that narrative story. There is the good father who wants to give them the promised land. He wants to give Israel this land flowing with milk and honey. There is Moses, the prophet, and Aaron, the pastor priest. And they're mediating this new covenant they've stepped into between the father and Israel. They have led the people towards the promised land. There's Joshua and Caleb, who believe that God was able to give them the promises regardless of the obstacles. They were ready to receive the promised land themselves. And then there's the children of Israel, the rest of the people, who constantly saw God's mighty hand at work. Think about what they saw. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw 10 plagues. They saw God come down on a mountain in fire with trumpet sounds. They saw water come from a rock. They saw bread delivered from heaven. They saw birds come down so they could feed them. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. They saw miracles way beyond anything any of us have ever seen. But yet, when faced with a people group, they said, God is not able. I believe that happened because they, in their mind, they were so ingrained with authority figures like Pharaoh that they were unable to comprehend an authority figure who was a good father. They had lived under Pharaoh for many years, building pyramids, being slaves. They were oppressed. And when they stepped into this relationship with God where he took them out through the Exodus, they had a new authority figure. His name was no longer Pharaoh. It was God, Yahweh. God, the God of covenant and intimacy and relationship. But they couldn't relate to God that way. They related to God as Pharaoh. And when God blessed them, they expected that God would then remove blessing. And it just went on and on. Miracles and moaning, miracles and moaning, miracles and moaning, miracles and moaning. No thankfulness, just miracles and moaning. Because they were living as slaves. And the church today is still struggling with the same battle. Because the Father, the good Father, has brought them into a new understanding of who he is. But we are struggling to recognize that we are no longer slaves and orphans. That when God's blessing comes, that he will not remove it. We are struggling to drop the Pharaoh. We are struggling to step in. And it means that we're trying to attain the promised land rather than receive the promised land. This is the time and seasons that we're in, church. He is saying, stop being like the children of Israel. I am the good father. I am not a hard taskmaster. I am the good God. You are my beloved children. I'd like to bring this to a conclusion and then pray for us, because I felt the Lord really spoke to me about one particular passage, and I'd like you to turn there now while I have a bit of water. And it's Matthew 16. And it's the section in Matthew 16 where Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And I want you, as I share this with you, as I share this new revelation that God has given me, I want you to position your mind to be Simon Peter. So as we talk through what happens, I want you to think that you are Simon Peter. Okay? Is that okay with everyone? Matthew 16. Simon Peter declares that Jesus is Messiah, which means anointed one, the Son of the living God. When Jesus asks him, "Who do people say I am?" Jesus then responds and says, "Man did not give you this revelation," or in your Bible it might say, "Flesh and blood did not give you this revelation, but my Father did." Simon Peter, Simon means he has heard. He has heard. What had Simon heard? That the anointed one is a son of the living God. Simon, which means he has heard, had heard this, that the anointed one is the son of the living God. Jesus goes on to say to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, one who hears, son of Jonah." The word Jonah means dove. What was Jesus saying? He was saying, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of the dove, son of the Holy Spirit." This is profound. Now that you've got the revelation that the anointed one is a son, let me tell you who you are. This is what the Father is telling you that you are. You are Peter, in Greek, Petros, the rock. You are Cephas, in Aramaic, you are a stone. I, Jesus, am the rock. I, Jesus, am the cornerstone. I, Jesus, am the Son of the living God. And on this understanding of sonship, on this revelation that the anointed one is a son, I will build my church. And you are a son of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, you are an anointed one. You are anointed because you are a son. As Christ is the rock, we are rocks. As Christ is the cornerstone, we are living stones. It's really interesting in the Greek, it even switches the word Peter in rock. It shifts from Petra, rock, to Petros, meaning living stone. It is phenomenal when you get into the depth of the text. And the Father is saying to Trinity Church, you are anointed and adopted sons and daughters, and on the revelation that you are anointed as son, I will build my kingdom through you. Because when you live as a slave, I can't put my authority on you because you have a wrong understanding. And when I pour my power through you, you won't know how to deal with that because you'll be living as a slave. But when you know that you are a son or daughter, I can pour my blessing through you. I can give you my authority because your heart and my heart are connected in covenant relationship. And I can release you to carry me into the earth. I can release heaven on you because the anointed one is a son. The anointed one is a daughter. And that is who we are. Let me press in a little bit deeper in this moment. When David defeated Goliath, he did it with a stone. The word stone in Hebrew, Aramaic, is Aben. Aben, father, Ben. So Ab, father, Ben, son. So David defeated him with a stone, with the revelation that he was a son who had a father and his name was Yahweh. He'd brought him into a covenant relationship and boom, the giant died. This is what the Father is declaring to us today, that there are giants in the land, but we are anointed sons and daughters. And with that revelation alone, we are receiving an unshakable kingdom that is releasing heaven to earth. This is a profound moment in the church, where the seeds of sonship are being scattered from the preaching of the word, and you are receiving an anointing to bring heaven to earth, because the Father says, my anointed ones are my sons and daughters. And you, Trinity, are sons and daughters. I am a son and a daughter. Let's stand. Let's just posture ourselves to receive from the Father. Father, I want to thank you that our promised land is not a physical place somewhere in the Middle East, but our promised land is the work and the gifts that you've given us to be in our families, to be in our places of work, and to bring heaven to earth. Our promised land is to see those that are around us transformed by the love of the Father, the redemptive work of the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our promised land may be geographical, it may be relational, but you have promised us that you are giving us a people. You are giving us places filled with milk and honey, places that are wonderful, and they are places that we're already in. And it is with the revelation that we are beloved sons and daughters, anointed sons and daughters, that we will receive these promises. We will receive new cultures in our businesses to see your kingdom come. We will receive new ways of doing life to see our streets transformed. We will see new ways of doing life to see families redeemed, that everyone in this house would see their family saved. Lord, we are receiving new ways, Lord, to understand who you are, because our promised land is not a land in Israel, but it is a land that we walk in every day. And yes, there are giants in the land. It's disappointment, it's fear, it's mystery, it's risk. There are giants in the land, but with the understanding that we are sons and daughters, our giants will be defeated, because the stone goes forth that knocks the giant down. And that stone is not your gift. That stone is who you are, anointed son and daughter. Amen. Amen.